This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
650, Senator Durbin joins us, and lots to discuss as always. And actually, I have something to ask about off the air when we're finished, if you could give me a bonus 30 seconds that, well, we have bonus 30 seconds from Senator Durbin. We'll keep it on account. Good morning to you. How are you?
How is the great Steve Cochran?
I would say better than average. Yeah, yeah, and thank you for that. I noticed that you guys had a late night, not much sleepy time, but I wanted to give you a chance to say whatever you would like to say about a guy you've known for a long time, and that's Senator John McCain, and what he's gone through and what he did.
Steve, I've been around House, Senate, career, spent my life, you know, doing this. I can put on one side all the votes, the historic votes. When you vote to go to war, if you don't lose a night's sleep, you don't know what you're doing. It's serious, life and death. When you're voting on something that is your bill, that means the world to you, whether it's the Dream Act or taking smoking off airplanes, you know, you are just totally engaged. But then there are those other moments when you are a witness to something that you'll never forget. And that's what happened on his health care vote. When John McCain came onto the floor and voted no, you know, I sat down and over the weekend typed out everything I could remember about that vote and that night. I came to Congress with John, you know, over 30 years ago in the House. He is an amazing man. We worked together, a gang of eight, four Democrats, four Republicans, wrote the comprehensive immigration reform bill. One day he'd walk in and he'd blow up like Mount Vesuvius. The next day he'd walk in and smother you with kindness. You never knew which McCain you were getting. But, you know, I come to understand the man. And I understand as best I can what his life has been. I mean, what he has been through in his life. 5 years in a prisoner of war camp, for goodness sakes, tortured by his enemies, and all of the other experiences. Well, that vote will be historic and remembered. It showed that John was willing to step up and take a hard vote for something he truly believed in. And we all like to believe we'd do the same thing.
And congratulations to Senators Collins and Murkowski for standing up for what they believed in as well. Because, frankly, regardless of where you are and whatever your political beliefs are as you listen this morning, I respect politicians who say what they mean and stick by what they say, because that's pretty rare today.
You know, it's not easy. And you'll read in the paper, the Secretary of the Interior, Zinke, calls Murkowski in a veiled threat of retribution if she votes the wrong way. And you think to yourself, you know, that when people do that to me, when they threaten you, it just makes you tougher and meaner and saying, the heck with you. You know, I'm doing what I believe. The stuff that wears you down is the little stuff, the colleagues, you know, just the comments. And sometimes even a family member will say something that tips the scales. And when it gets down to these very emotional, historic moments.
Where are we with health care now? What happens? Because, you know, the president can tweet all day, but that doesn't mean the Senate will take it up between now and whenever.
There are no votes to pass it in the Senate. With McCain gone, they don't have the 50 votes they need to let Pence break a tie. Here's the good news. Starting that night, actually in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, on the floor, Lamar Alexander, Republican, Tennessee, Patty Murray, Democrat of Washington, they're huddling up, and I asked Patty afterwards, what's it all about? She said, we've set the hearings. We're going to start looking at the health care system. We're going into the major areas of weakness to strengthen it. We're bringing in the experts. We're doing what we're supposed to do from the start. So is there a good outcome to this? Maybe. These are going to be tough issues, but we're doing it the right way. You know, we're doing it in a respectful, bipartisan way to try to solve a problem. And I think that's what the American people overwhelmingly expect of us.
Yeah, and Senator McCain, who certainly has taken as many party stances as any of you guys have been there forever, but he's the guy that stood up as well and made that speech and said, this is not what the American people elected us to do. We have to work together. So this is a step forward in that.
Steve, that 15-minute speech, and I stayed for every word of it because I love this guy. I knew he just received this devastating news about brain cancer. And he does this reflective 15 minutes on the Senate in history, on our role as senators, where we have blown it with gamesmanship and partisanship, a challenge for us to remember we're a separate branch of government. We don't work for the President of the United States. He's entitled to his point of view. We're entitled to ours. You know, it was a good moment to put things in perspective for a man, I'm sure, who in the last few days has tried to put a lot of his life in perspective.
Deductibles problem, the cost problem in general, obviously the lack of exchanges, or the exchange collapses, I should say, in Iowa, Kentucky, and various other places. I assume that's going to be center in the hearings?
It should be. I mean, we now know that we have to swim across a wide lake, but we better keep our head above water or we're not going to make it. And to keep it above water, we've got to keep the current system with the insurance companies offering their products a viable system. You can't walk away from it. When the president says, let it sink, and then the Democrats will come begging to me. You know, it isn't President Trump's insurance that will sink. It's the insurance of a lot of people listening to your show and the cost of it and the coverage of it. We don't want that to happen. So it means we've got to do the things to keep it strong while we're getting the long-term fixes in place. I am convinced we can do this. I don't think there's a thing about this that we cannot deal with. It won't be perfect, and nothing ever is. But, man, if we go into it with good faith and bipartisanship and determination to get it done, I think we can do it.
The sanctions placed on, or I should say the freezing of the assets placed on Maduro in Venezuela yesterday, a good move. Is that enough for now?
Probably not. That the United States would take this action against Venezuela when this man virtually has rigged an election to give him dictatorial powers is something we had to do. I don't think it's going to stop it overnight. But, you know, thank goodness we're doing something the president a few weeks ago said we're not going to do. We're standing up for values. You know, when it comes to chemical weapons in Syria, the president was right. We are expected as the United States to do something to register our opposition to the use of chemical weapons. When it comes to a great nation in South America moving toward an absolute dictatorship, we've got to step up and speak up. That is part of who we are. When Russians invade our elections, sanctions really demonstrate our values in this situation. So the values equation is an important part of leadership.
Senator, you had some supportive statements for Jeff Sessions last week, saying the president is essentially chopping his head off and his true motive is to put an end to the Russian investigation. So kind of a double-edged question there. Do you think the president is continuing to throw members of his own party and pretty much everybody under the bus? And will this be the end of the Russian investigation?
Well, there's no indication in the last 48 hours one way or the other, which is amazing because the stories come out of the White House two and three times a day. I do believe the latest disclosure that President Trump may have written the explanation of his son's meeting with that Russian during the campaign, may have written it on Air Force One, that was reported and not denied, is serious. I think President Trump looks at this as a family issue and a PR issue. It is much more than this. It's an issue involving national security, and it is a legal and criminal issue. He ought to really listen carefully to his attorneys and not do anything that is rash or stupid. Injecting himself in this, writing what turns out to be a false explanation of the meeting of his son, just complicates his life.
The chief of staff position has become much more important in this generation. But it really, it's the last 20 or 30, maybe 40 years where it's really been key to the operation of the White House. Kelly seems like the right guy to take, really, in my opinion, the last shot at righting this ship. How well do you know him and what's your level of confidence in him?
I know him better than you might expect. I met him when he was a four-star Marine Corps general, head of the Southern Command, respected man. He has been in combat. He's led our troops. He has a sad distinction of being the highest-ranked officer in our history who lost a son in battle. I respect him very, very much. I voted for him, though many of my liberal friends said he's not going to be good, and you know what Trump's going to do on immigration and so forth. But I've tried to keep a line of communication open with him. I want to be able to reach out for my Dreamers and DACA kids and give them a fighting chance, and I think he'll take my call. And I hope that he'll listen. Now he's at the top of the heap in terms of staff, an important position. Will it work? I don't know. When you think of the Marine Corps, you think of discipline and order and respect and loyalty. And you wonder, how many of those boxes would you check about the Trump White House today? Not many. But can he change it? Good move on Scaramucci. That fellow had no business in high levels of government and many other places for the things that he said. So I'll watch Kelly. I respect him much. I count him as a friend. I had a little catheter procedure in Chicago a few months ago. He called me right afterwards, said, "How you feeling?" I thought, a nice gesture.
That's great.
What a nice guy. So
always nice to come out of surgery in your gown and know the Marines are behind you.
That's right. You can't do better than that.
Before I let you go, you mentioned the Mooch. You've seen a lot of characters come through Washington in various administrations, including family members of presidents. You ever see anybody like this guy?
No, never. And he had no business in public, let alone in a public leadership position. I won't get into his personal life. They're reporting that in the news. But this man's personality and his approach are just a tangle of bad decisions. And the fact that he would be brought in as communication director for the president of the United States, outrageous. He made the right move.
Just ridiculous. Safe travels. Thank you for the time this morning, and thank you for some clarity on the health care situation for now. The timing on those hearings, any idea?
They're going to announce the schedule. We're hoping to be out of here maybe in a week or so. And then September, roll up our sleeves and get down to business.
All right. Thanks, sir. That's Senator Dick Durbin.